when the city comes back? What if there's no way of moving back? What when your face falls apart? Have you got enough time?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Joshua P. Warren's Speaking of Strange, hosted by Vance Pollock.
Vance Pollock.
Vance Pollock.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight into the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go into the field to investigate. It's Speaking of Strange, and I am Vance Pollock, joined in the studio by investigator Shelley Wright. How are you, Shelley?
Great. How are you?
Excellent. And producer Sam the Animal Steel. Sammy, how are you?
Hey. How's everybody doing?
Going to be a good show tonight. All sorts of tantalizing tangents. There's a lot in the news. There's a lot going on for Joshua P. Warren. This week, he unleashed on the world his latest report on UFOs, or what he wants to stick in the public vernacular as OUFOs, that is, organic unidentified flying objects. A collection of material that he has found, observed in Puerto Rico in recent years, and he finally put together a report on it. He mixes it in with some of the local lore, some of the native indigenous traditions, which are simply fascinating. But the footage, some of that Homeland Security footage from the airport base down there in from the Air Force base down there in Puerto Rico, pretty interesting. I mean, at first glance you think maybe it's just a glitch in the video because it's shot in black and white, like a thermal imaging or something, but they capture some sort of craft or some sort of UFO circling around this airport. And then it dips down into the ocean. Josh mentions in the video in a location that's near the deepest part of the ocean. It's near the Puerto Rico Trench, which is as deep, Josh put it in perspective, nearly as deep as Mount Everest, the Puerto Rico Trench. This object dips into the water and then reemerges with a twin, a shadow object, almost identical, and they slow down ever so slightly when they're in the water. Having been analyzed by a number of people, it's determined that the object is moving about 120 miles per hour when it's above the water, maybe down to about 90 miles an hour through the water, and when it reemerges, and then finally it dips into the water. Both objects dip back into the ocean. And though the camera is scanning and the observers are watching, they do not reemerge at that time. But pretty fascinating stuff. He goes on to draw comparisons to many things observed by people around Puerto Rico, reputable people, honest people who have nothing to gain by making up UFO stories. As a matter of fact, some of these people, it would seem that they were reluctant to tell the story because, well, from, you know, experience, sometimes when you go out and start talking about the UFOs you've seen, people kind of look the other way and cuckoo. So a lot of people don't want to be branded, you know, as some sort of fruitcake because they've seen a UFO. They think it's all in your head, but what Josh has put together in the OUFO report, available now on joshuapwarren.com. Is there a period after the P, guys?
I don't believe so.
No period after the P. joshuapwarren.com, and you'll find the OUFO video. It's a very, very short and interesting presentation.
12 minutes long.
Right, concise.
Yes.
I mean, it covers a lot.
And so, yeah, it goes into Indian culture from hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and it was a very interesting watch.
I like that some of these minor deities from the native culture do bear a resemblance, striking resemblance to saucers or some sort of craft. And Josh pulls in the theory of biological, thus organic, the O in OUFO, the organic or biological element. Could these be some sort of living or, you know, physical structure? You know, whether if it's from another state of matter, interdimensional, who knows? But is it a natural expression? I mean, OUFOs. And when Josh sent me the footage to preview, see, I'm in the loop. I got to see this footage. I got to see the video a week or so before he unleashed it on an unwitting world.
Uh-huh.
And he asked my opinion, and which makes me feel good that Josh would confide in me and ask what I think. And I said, Josh, I think you nailed it, man. I think this is fascinating, engaging content, and it reminds me of one of the early UFO contactees, a fellow by the name of Trevor James Constable. He wrote a book in 1958 called They Live in the Sky, 1958, and simply as Trevor James. But I was in contact with Mr. Constable a few years ago. I think he just passed away last year, but he was one of the grandfathers of the American UFO movement. I believe he was a native of New Zealand, but he had relocated to the U.S., and he was very, very comprehensive when he was researching this sort of stuff, and he was also interested in weather manipulation and alternative sciences like that. He wrote a second book, a compendium called The Cosmic Pulse of Life, which I had him to inscribe for my son a few years ago by mail. I never had the pleasure of meeting Trevor, but he was definitely on to something, and I mentioned that to Josh, and he said, you know, I probably hadn't thought of Trevor James Constable when I was putting the presentation together, but now that you mention it, there certainly are parallels. So in one sense, it's fresh, it's new for the UFO community to consider in this day and age. It adds credence to these claims with new footage. I mean, there's some interesting still photos as well. There's a photograph at one point that he discusses where there's a herd of cattle and something streaking, some dark streak in the sky. Mysterious, engaging, and thought-provoking. Go to joshuapwarren.com and watch the OUFO presentation. What are your thoughts on it, Shelley? The OUFO video.
It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing.
Shelly's over here going through some Dark 30 material. That's what we do. She does secretarial work as well. We need to give you a nod for that.
Thank
because
you.
People think you're just sitting there pretty waiting for your turn to talk. But Shelly is over here doing clerical work in the name of Dark 30 for the most part. But yeah, so I caught her off guard with that. But It was.
It really was amazing, and it just the fact that he took all of this material over the past few years, and I mean it. I don't know. It reads like it just happened yesterday.
It's fresh.
It's fresh
for the world to see, and that's what I think. I'm surprised that JPW was able to sit on this footage as he was collecting it, because you know, Josh gets excited about this stuff. And I know that he's had some of this footage for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
As he's putting it together, as he's putting together this presentation, how did he hold back? And why now? I think maybe Josh knows that now is the time for the world to consider OUFOs. And it's a nice presentation. Coast to Coast has already picked up the ball and run with it and shared the link around. There a lot of international media and Yeah, Josh is getting some well-deserved attention for it, and we're proud to be his folks back home here in the mountains on Speaking of Strange. Sam, what'd you think, man? You just watched it for the first time.
Yeah, as the resident somewhat skeptic, you can't, this face won't translate to a radio well, but I was doing this, I was like, that's like sort of a furrowed brow.
Right.
And I'm watching it, and I at no point did I think, like, this is, you know, tomfoolery, fake. You know, you're watching Homeland Security video. It's obviously, you know, like some sort of, you know, stuff you don't see every day. You see that thing zipping. And my first thought was, like, it's probably, like, a drone racer. Because I have a friend who races drones. They can go, like, you know, 160, 70 miles an hour. But then I'm like, okay, it doesn't have any signal, doesn't have any, you know, battery. They're not picking up any signal from it. Then when it dipped into the water, and you're like, holy crap, is it, you know, you hit water, you hit resistance. You get, like, a lot of resistance. So for it to go from 120 in the air to, you know, 90-plus under the water without skipping a beat, and then come out with two, it's like, what was that? Like, what just happened there? Like, did they replicate under, what was, I don't know, that was pretty wild.
Are they like gremlins? Speaking of organic,
don't feed them after midnight.
Don't get them wet.
Yeah.
Don't feed them after midnight. Maybe that was it. They're gremlin UFOs.
The one's name? It started with an S, didn't it?
Stripe, the
Striper
evil guy.
Who was the good one? Gizmo.
Gizmo was the sweet little mogwai. Stripe was the bad guy. Yeah.
It could have been.
Good stuff. Fascinating footage. Congratulations, Joshua P. Warren, and everybody that follows Joshua P. Warren's doings here in his hometown of Asheville and in the world.
And nice Guayabera shirt there, Josh. Rocking the tropical style shirt.
Very yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, looking very, climate. Very much like a cool dude on the island down there.
Props.
This hour, guys, we need to talk a little bit about an interesting hearse ride.
Oh, with Cloris Leachman?
In pursuit of Cloris Leachman.
We're still trying to figure out what that movie was.
In pursuit of Cloris Leachman, this hour on Speaking of Strange. Yeah, taking a hearse ride over the mountain and back, and with a few tales to tell. It's fascinating stuff. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about some of our favorite horror hosts and characters, iconic figures in horror media history. You never know what you're going to get, but you're going to want to stay tuned. It's Speaking of Strange.
Deep in a shrinking soul, but there won't be a single thing that you can do. He's a god, he's a man, he's a ghost, he's a guru.
This is Speaking of Strange, Joshua P. Warren. Speaking of Strange, I'm Vance Pollock in the studio with Shelley Wright and Sam Steele. Just having a good old time on a Saturday night, talking about all the ghosts and ghoulies that you've come to expect from Speaking of Strange, 15 years strong. I did not hear Speaking of Strange 15 years ago, but I did hear it for the first time probably 12 years ago when it was really hitting its stride. Boy, the glory days of Speaking of Strange. See how far we've fallen.
Back then, they would broadcast out of the old building, which is the more haunted one, out of the old WWNC studios in the very back of the building. And I would be in this building doing stuff late at night. And after I was done, I would roll over there and, their whole crew. I mean, sometimes there would be, six, eight people in the studio back then. It was lively, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember I was in the studio with them the first time in 2007, and I would drop in when invited or when I could talk my way in those early years as a listener/fanboy. But in 2008, I was in the studio, and I heard the news on Speaking of Strange, a news item that Josh was reading on Speaking of Strange, that Myla Nurmi had died. Do you know who Myla Nurmi was?
Mm-mm.
Better known by her stage name, Vampyra. Without Vampyra, there would not have been an Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. Basically, she was the tall, thin, super tight dress, lots of cleavage. But this was in the black and white days. So Vampyra was the classic black and white version of Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. Of course, Vampyra, that character was modeled very closely on Morticia Adams.
Great, great song also by the Oak Ridge Boys.
By the Oak Ridge
Boys. Vampyra.
I like the Misfits cover of the Oak Ridge Boys, Vampyra. she was gorgeous, but I sat in this studio with Joshua P. Warren and the Speaking of Strange gang when he read that sad news about Myla Nurmi's death, 2008. I was kind of regretful. I mean, everybody dies, and it's sad, but I was personally punching myself in the head that I didn't get in touch with Vampyra, because I had an opportunity late in her life to reach out to her. I was friendly, or I was kind of going to the horror cons and film shows and everything. I met
Kane Hodder.
I met a couple of the guys that were friends with Ed Wood and had appeared in Plan 9 from Outer Space, bit parts. One of the Conrad Brooks, who played one of the cops in Plan 9 from Outer Space, he used to do the movie in the horror convention circuit, and I met Conrad Brooks, and I was in touch with people of like interest, and I got a line on the fact that Vampyra, she's just a normal person most of the time when she's not in makeup, and she's just supplementing her income late in life by selling autographed 8x10 glossies. She would personalize and autograph an 8x10, and it was $15, and it was old school. You mail her a check or a money order and a letter, and she would sign an 8x10 glossy and mail it back to you. And I just, for whatever reason, didn't get an autographed Vampyra glossy, and I regret that. One B-movie bombshell whose autograph I did get, and I don't know if she's even still with us. She may still be around, but Mamie Van Doren. Do you know Mamie Van Doren?
I think...
She's pretty hot in like a B-movie Marilyn Monroe.
I know the name. Well, I know it from Pulp Fiction.
Mamie Van Doren was in The Navy versus the Night Monsters. That was probably one of her... most popular films, blockbuster, The Navy versus the Night Monsters. But yes, she was a good looking gal. She was in High School Confidential, which was one of those early rock and roll movies, soundtrack by Jerry Lee Lewis. I got Mamie Van Doren's autograph. And it was one of those where I didn't meet her at a convention, but I got her address and sent her a self-addressed postcard. And she just wrote on the back of it to Vance, hugs and kisses, XOXO, Mamie Van Doren. Oh, my gosh. I was so happy when she mailed that postcard back with that inscription on it. So, Mamie, whether you're with us or whether you're beyond the veil now, you were and are a lovely lady in our memories. Vampira, sorry I never got your autograph, dear, but what got us off on this? Oh, yeah, we were talking about horror hosts during the break because I mentioned pursuing Cloris Leachman in a hearse, which I did this week. I didn't catch her. I don't think the hearse will ever catch Cloris Leachman. She's, what, 91 years old, and the hearse still ain't caught her.
Quicker than a jackalope, I tell you what.
But we got to talking about some of these horror hosts, and Sam and I, being from Florida, we grew up with Dr. Paul Bearer. I'll be lurking for you. Creature feature WTOG 44, you know, one of those old UHF channels, and they were every Saturday showing these B horror movies, a lot of times old school black and white.
Oh yeah,
horror movies.
I mean, they were probably already public domain back then, you know.
But the best were like these bits, the segments in between the bumpers coming in and out of the break. Dr. Paul Bearer on his set, you know, with his coffin, and he would do these really corny comedy bits.
Can I play the intro?
Have you got the intro to Creature Feature?
Yeah.
Sure, do that.
It'll bring back ears.
Oh, yeah.
This is Dr. Paul Bearer, and I'll be lurking for you next on Creature Feature.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And he would, like, have, like, these funky...
Good afternoon, and welcome to Creature Feature. Now, here is your host, Dr. Paul Bearer.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, nice. He looked like a... Undertaker.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Something like that.
Yeah, he wore an old tux with the long tails and the cut. You know, the style of this tuxedo that he wore was vintage, like 1930s or whatever.
Yeah.
So tailored to look like an old Undertaker.
And he would drive
and his
around.
Hair parted down the middle, greasy and parted down the middle and hanging down over his eyes.
Pancake makeup on.
Black under his eyes. Here's the thing. He started that character when he was working for WGHP, which is Greensboro High Point. He started Creature Feature in North Carolina. He was born... in Asheville,
now you
North
told me
Carolina.
That blew my mind.
Yeah, pretty cool. His dad worked for Smith's Drugstore, right on the corner there where Pasana is, right on Pack Square. And so his dad was a pharmacist at Smith's Drugstore, and Dr. Paul Bearer, Dick Bennick was his birth name, was born right here in Asheville, North Carolina, and I think he graduated from high school down the state somewhere, Charlotte or whatever. Found a yearbook photo, like his senior class photo in a yearbook online a while back, digging. But when he got started at WGHP Greensboro, he had already been doing radio and television and was a music producer, and he hosted a Saturday morning kids movie show at the State Theater in Winston-Salem, and he was a well-known like entertainment figure, DJ. He was a media personality.
And I mean, having done this now for so many years, like, and knowing what it's like to go out on location and do stuff, I as a kid, I thought he was just this real guy driving, you know, but he was promoting, he was doing promos, you know, driving around. You would see him at the gas station on Saturday, Dr. Paul Bearer here from noon to three, you know, or whatever.
Right.
It was so cool.
He had such a legacy as an entertainment icon long before Sam and I ever knew him as Dr. Paul Bearer down in Central Florida. But certainly one of my fond memories and probably to blame for my twisted mind to some degree. You are listening to Speaking of Strange. Let's talk a little bit about some of our horror favorites this hour. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Stop it! You're ignorant.
They're coming for you, Barbara.
Stop it! You're acting like a child.
Look, they're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
He'll hear you.
Here he comes now. I'm getting out of here.
John!
Oh, the classics. Nothing like the original Night of the Living Dead. We were talking about some of our childhood horror host memories. I mentioned Vampyra being every teenage horror kid's dream, kind of like the lyrics to that Misfits tune express in more graphic detail than I'm allowed to express here under FCC regulation. But Night of the Living Dead. Did you not see the original black and white Night of the Living Dead as a kid? Shelley, have you seen it?
I'm sure I have. I've seen all the Shelley.
I think we have to have a Shelley Wright movie night ever so often, every month or so, Sam, where we make sure that make sure that she has seen this movie so she can talk with listeners about it.
I want popcorn. With lots of butter.
Popcorn, lots of butter, and the original black and white Night of the Living Dead. George Romero. Sam was talking about interviews with George. Back in January, we lost the actor at age of 81 who played
the sheriff.
Sheriff McClelland. They're dead. They're all messed up.
Man, they're all messed up.
Yeah, they're pretty slow. They're dead.
That was all improvised.
All messed up.
That entire scene, like, all made up on the spot, first take.
And you pointed out, which I didn't know, that the actor who is playing the reporter in that scene, the reporter that's interviewing the sheriff, he was a horror host in Pittsburgh for a show up there.
What was it called?
Chiller Theater.
Chiller Thriller or something?
Chiller Thriller, yeah. Chilly Billy from Pittsburgh. And that, surprisingly, it said that one ran from like 63 to 83. Those were the days, the glory days of horror hosts.
It's a lost art. It's a lost genre. It's something that, I mean, now I actually have an app on my Roku that's just called like horror features or something, and you just open the app. You don't pick anything to watch. It's just a constant 24-hour stream of either old horror movies or trailers for old horror movies. So it's like good if you don't want to watch something, you just want something on in the background, you have somebody over, and it's cool to see, like, you know, the just back then, you know, you had 2.5 minute long theatrical trailers, you know.
Right. Very over dramatic.
For me, like, the one that shaped it for me was Creature from the Black Lagoon, definitely, and Psycho was probably my all time favorite. I mean, I have a tattoo of the Bates Motel on my arm, you know.
Oh, that's cool. I saw a theater screening of Psycho on like the 50th anniversary or whatever it was. I actually saw a film print of Psycho projected in a dark theater, and it's a whole lot different when you sit in the theater and watch than it is watching them on the little television set, you know. So if you have never seen Psycho in all its glory, watch for it, because it's one of those classics that they bring back from time to time. There are a couple theaters here around Asheville which bring back classic films, and they do some horror showings over at the Carolina Cinema, I believe. But anyways, yeah, Asheville's pretty hip to its film history.
Frankie Hankey would do that, was it every like Wednesday or Thursday or something? It was
right,
like free old horror movie night or something.
And now he is passed on.
But, what?
Yeah.
You Frankie didn't know, Hankey passed away?
You didn't know that he died. Yeah, he died a few months ago.
No way.
Yes, sir.
We used to do a weekly feature with him over on the other AM station here every Friday afternoon.
Quite a character. Certainly an Asheville media icon.
He knew his movies, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he saw everything just about.
And he appreciated the cheesy horror movies for what they were. It was always fun for me when they were doing a screening of one of these old B horror movies to read his review of those, because he would not just bash them. That had already been done. The movies pretty much destroyed themselves. But he would analyze these movies as a film critic, with much appreciation for the genre, and tell you what you're going to enjoy about this horrible old movie, as Dr. Paul Bearer used to call him. Dr. Paul Bearer, to get back to him briefly, after his career in television and radio here in North Carolina, he moved to Winter Haven, Florida, which is in Polk County. It adjoins the town where I grew up, Lakeland, Florida. Yeah, that's what's wrong with me. I grew up in Florida. But ringing the bell. And Dr. Paul Bearer, Dick Bennett, moved down to Winter Haven, and he moved his character, Dr. Paul Bearer, and his show, Creature Feature, to WTOG Channel 44 over in Tampa, showing all the most horrendous B-horror movies, Night of the Lepus. That's the movie about the giant rabbits, Shelley. Oh, my gosh. You got to see that.
I have not seen that.
Yeah, you would love Night of the Lepus. Squirm, the movie about the worm invasion. Sam, are you familiar with the movie Squirm?
Squirm the Worm. Not off the top of my head.
What year are we talking? Pretty good stuff. Probably 72 or 3.
Okay.
I guess. Anyway,
so would that be the Silver
I'm
Age?
Thinking of movies that I specifically remember seeing on Creature Feature, and one would have been Squirm. I mentioned to Shelley Night of the Lepus.
Oh, I just watched that like 3 weeks ago.
The giant rabbits.
It had DeForest Kelly in it from Star Trek.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. And it's so funny to watch it now because it's obvious that they're normal sized jackrabbits, and they have built tiny railroad houses, you know, and it's like the horror of these like rabid radioactive rabbits,
right,
that are just kicking over a little toy dollhouse,
right. And Dr. Paul Bearer, Asheville native, is hosting this on Tampa TV, and we're watching this stuff as kids.
The Blob.
But after he moved to Winter Haven, Florida, he got in a car accident, and his face was scarred up pretty bad, and he lost an eye.
Oh, okay.
After that accident.
His eye did look a little wonky.
Yeah, after that accident, with his glass eye and the scars on his face and everything, this is how much of a trooper he was. Instead of becoming despondent and depressed by a disfiguring accident, he incorporated the scars and the glass eye. He would put it in a little crooked so it protruded.
Yeah.
And he embraced these injuries and made them part of his character.
Remember that we were watching some of that, like, he would have really cheesy jokes, too, you know, about, like, my mummy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he'd always, like, have, like, they're like your uncle's bad cheesy jokes, but they had to do with monsters. You know?
I was watching the a clip of him polishing his hearse the other day, and he says, when I polish my hearse, I like to use Fangtastic. And he's got a bottle of the spray cleaner, and he's got a rag there, and he says, this hearse was very lightly used. I bought it used, but it had actually only been used once by a suicide, so the only problem is I can't get this lipstick off the exhaust pipe.
Oh, man. They could get away with some stuff on UHF.
Okay, yeah, you know? he said some pretty off-colored things, some things that would be considered distasteful today. But in the oeuvre of horror, and I hope that most of you grew up with some horror. I met people who were sheltered from horror as children, and they only learned about these things after they got out into the world, and it just doesn't have the same impact. It's hard to love that stuff when you're not exposed to it from the early impressionable years. But I so hope that, speaking of strange listeners, had the pleasure of embracing horror the way we did. And
now,
thank you, Dr. Paul Bearer.
Question, did Asheville have any, since I, you know, moved here in 90, did we have any, and you, I don't know when you moved here, but did we have anything that was similar in, like, local TV?
There were local horror shows. I don't know that we had a horror host per se.
I didn't know that there was
iconic.
The movies filmed here that, you know, the road racing movies or whatever that you had told me about that were on Tunnel Road.
Right. The Challenge.
The Challenge, yeah.
Yeah, The Challenge was filmed along Tunnel Road. Great chase scenes.
That was a good B or C movie.
Yeah, even Z-list stuff. But there certainly were horror movies being syndicated and played here in Asheville. I want to think Shock Theater or something like that was running as late as the 1980s. Seems like when I was up here in the summer that we would watch Shock Theater on Saturdays. There's some Asheville people that were here back in the day can probably correct us on that.
Let us know on the Facebook page.
Yeah, do that. Speaking of Strange with Vance Pollock is on Facebook. You ought to go there. You can also get a lot of links to the sort of stuff we discuss in the Dark 30, which is coming up here in just a little over an hour. Be warned. This is Speaking of Strange. We'll be right back.
I bought a shotgun. shotgun. I put the barrel upside her head.
It's Speaking of Strange on WWNC 570 AM, the Talk of the Mountains here in Asheville. It's a dark and eerie night. And what better time than to talk about hearse rides, Cloris Leachman or no? That's I need help from Speaking of Strange listeners. Shelley said she saw a scary movie when she was a kid where Cloris Leachman is pursued by a hearse.
By a hearse.
And
I'm pretty sure it's just not Cloris Leachman.
It might not be, but I'm pretty sure that they showed it. It seems like they showed it on HBO.
They showed it over and over. I showed her that trailer for Burnt Offerings, which features an elderly Betty Davis looking a little bit like a decrepit
Cloris Leachman. That you're talking of, Cloris Leachman wouldn't resemble the Cloris Leachman that we all know and love now.
And Betty and Cloris do not look anything alike.
No, other than they both lived to be old.
They were women.
They projected this elderly look. I mean, people think of Cloris Leachman now, but when you think of do you think of Cloris Leachman in the 70s as
I think
an
of
old
her
woman?
In the nude, but I mean, in the 70s, 80s, 90s, aughts.
Wow. Whenever. She's kind of like a Betty White. Oh, she's ageless.
She's still hilarious.
Betty White ever been pursued by a hearse on film?
Not that I recall.
It's never going to catch her. Never going to happen. But the whole thing, and we got off on such a tangent that it's taken an hour for me to get around to this.
Jeez,
I picked my son up from school in a hearse the other day. Our good friends, Virgil Nightshade and his chauffeur, Charon, Virgil Nightshade and Charon came by and picked me up. Those are the guys from Dark Ride Tours, darkridetours.com. They came by and they picked me up down at the Ingalls in Reynolds, and we went over the mountain to pick my son up from school, and we went through the car rider line in a 1972 Cadillac hearse.
Awesome. I've always wanted one of those.
I saw the first time I spotted my son standing up there on the sidewalk, and all the kids are lined up waiting for their parents, and they're all gawking at the hearse, and, you know, some of these kids have got their phones out, and they're taking pictures and making videos of there's a hearse coming through the car rider line. Must have been pretty cool. And Sylvan is watching intently with his friend there, and I can see their mouths moving, see them talking. I see some of their friends, shaking their heads and looks of confusion. And then when we roll up close enough for Sylvan to see me in the passenger seat, I see him mouth, "Oh my gosh."
In a good way or an embarrassed way?
In a good way.
In a good way.
His little brother was thinking he might be embarrassed. He was not embarrassed. He was very, very excited. But by way of introduction to darkridetours.com, let me just say, those guys, they will work a custom job, because me and Sylvan had been teasing over the year as we saw people picking their kids up in monster trucks and dune buggies and golf carts, what would be the coolest ride to school or from school. And
we
said it was a hearse all along. So
the Ghostbusters car would be pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be pretty cool. I've seen one of those at the Comic-Con here in Asheville.
That was a really accurate one.
There's some nice ones around, but a 72 Caddy.
Yeah, it's classic.
DarkRideTours.com. And Virgil Nightshade, in a former life, was Joshua P. Warren's English teacher, high school English teacher.
Weird.
Yeah, so worlds collide. And Virgil Nightshade, I actually met at the seance at Byrish House last year, which was a very interesting time. If you've been a regular listener, you've heard the stories about the Byrish House seance. Fascinating stuff, and like I say, it all comes into play. But kind of a fun prank surprise for my son on the last day of school. And darkridetours.com. They'll customize your ride. They'll help you move the bodies So if you got any creative ideas, you want to go to a dance in style, who needs a limo when you can ride in a hearse? The back is all decked out with the upholstery and interior. It seats like 6 or 8 people comfortably. It's
really?
Got a widescreen TV on the wall. You watch horror movies in there, cruise around, have a drink. DarkRideTours.com. Speaking of strange, we'll be right back. Just fly right by, and the bills come due again and again at lightning speed. You can save money every month if you use a Sunshine Simple solar generator to supplement your power. It's also the perfect generator for any disaster, since you don't need fuel. It's quiet and it's clean, and it's so simple. It's literally plug and play. That's why it's called Sunshine Simple. They're made right here in Western North Carolina by Mobius. It's the world's most powerful solar generator for the lowest price, guaranteed. You have nothing to lose by just watching the video on the website that shows you how it works. Go to sunshinesimple.com. People all over the world use them for backup, to help loved ones in emergencies, and to just save money every month. Again, go check out the video at sunshinesimple.com.